It's got a death curse.
Don't bother me, be like me. And then who will help you up in the sewer?
Just like having a wart removed.
What's the boogeyman?
As a matter of fact, it was.
Silver shamrock masks, gather round your TV set, put on your masks, and watch. All witches, all skeletons, all jack-o'-lanterns, gather round and watch. Watch the magic pumpkin. Watch.
You watch the credits, any veteran horror fan can look at the credits of this film and recognize that the people involved in 1 and 2 are heavily involved in this film as well.
I thought he was crazy, out of his mind. He's hanging onto a Halloween mask, he wouldn't let it go, and what he said was... they're gonna kill us all.
Yeah, this probably would have played better as a single episode of, like, Tales from the Dark Side or something.
Friday the 13th
series. Friday the 13th the series.
Yeah.
Mr. Cochran, good to see you, sir.
Oh, good evening, Mr. Rafferty.
It's Dan O'Hurley.
Fuck you. I was just about to say, it's fucking Dan O'Hurley.
You don't really know much about Halloween.
It is, by the way, the single oldest thing that we celebrate to the day. There is nothing else. There are no holidays, no pastimes, no traditions as the human race that we celebrate that's older than Halloween.
October 20th, pick up more masks.
That's the kind your father had in his hand.
So we know that something's going on with these masks. We know the Silver Shamrock is up to no good. We just don't know exactly to what extent.
Stonehenge, we had a time getting it here. You wouldn't believe how we did it.
We took Tommy off battery, tied it to the back of him, dangled a stick with a bottle of whiskey in front of him, and he got it here in like 2 days.
Dude, come here.
No.
Look at the teeth.
I saw.
Look at the teeth all fucked up. What's coming out of my face?
More gum trauma.
What you really need to see is a demonstration, and there's one coming right up.
What is supposed to happen in everyone's fucking living room at 9 o'clock that evening,
yes,
is the stuff of fucking nightmares. I thought they executed that perfectly.
I do love a good joke, and this is the best ever. A joke on the children.
It killed the series for, part 4 came out in 88, right?
Yes.
So it killed the series for 5 years.
Yes. Which seemed a long fucking time when you're a kid.
For sure.
Waiting for more.
Sixty-nine shows. We've reached that nasty number, just in time for our favorite time of the year. This is Cash Wampum, your host of the Horror 101 show, and welcome to the Halloween special. There was absolutely no doubts in our mind when we agreed to do the threequel year that we wouldn't be hitting this 1982 film when the time came, and that time is now, ladies and gentlemen. We have received more requests to cover Tommy Lee Wallace's Halloween 3, The Season of the Witch, than any other film since we began this podcast, so we hope that you enjoy it. Tonight it's myself, the lovely nude, the world-famous Brian Stewart, cult sensation Nick McPherson, and the nefarious Paul B.
The man is nefarious.
I'm upset that there is no Halloween party at the Pattersons this year. What's going on? For once, that actually Halloween finally lands on a day of the week that I get off for finally. It's on a Tuesday, and I just have to get Tuesdays, Wednesdays off. And I have Halloween all to myself, and you're not throwing a party. Fuck you.
Scientific discovery. World revolves around Brian Stewart.
Yes, it should.
I'm happy to disappoint you.
So this is St. Patrick's Day, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, we're doing Leprechaun 3.
Back to the hood.
Leprechaun 3, as I watch everybody just get up and leave the room.
Well, you know what? Leprechauns are people, too. You need to respect the green. What?
So a lot of... as soon as everybody figured out that we were going to do the part 3s this year, everybody's been asking, do Halloween 3, do Halloween 3, do Halloween 3.
We did Halloween 3.
We touched on it on the first episode.
First or second.
Horror 101, episode 1. We talked Fright Night and we talked Halloween 3. That was one of the reasons I wanted to start this project, was to set the record straight on Halloween 3. But if you go back and listen to Horror 101 Episode 1, you just want to take a gun out and stick it in your fucking mouth. I can't do it. I feel like Matt Groening doing the commentary for the first...
where he walks out.
Simpsons. He's like, yeah, I can't do this. I'm out. It's bad. I've tried listening to the first episode. It's like, no,
I can't.
We've come a long way in 69 shows.
You
know what?
So you should do Halloween 3. No, we already got one. It's very nice.
But you know what? It gets polished fairly quickly, I have to say, in our own defense. By about episode 5 or 6, we headed down pretty good.
Well, I'd say I'd say the top 20. After the top 20 around there, I started finding... Because that's when I started putting in the Prelude to Terror at the beginning.
The top 20 almost killed you.
Cashy got his groove back.
Yeah, episode 20 almost killed you. I thought you were going to quit.
Just bash my head right in. Go ahead, really, please. Just bash it right in.
So, yeah, Halloween 3, a lot of people have been looking forward to this. So we can't fuck it up. Don't fuck this up for me, gentlemen.
Halloween 3, Season of the Watch.
Season of the Watch. I think the big thing about it was that people were expecting another Michael Myers film. Like, this was 83. This was back when Friday the 13th 3 came out. There was a bunch
Jaws
of movies.
3.
Jaws 3 was coming out. Amityville 3 was coming out. Like, they wanted more of the same. This was the heyday. Well, maybe not the heyday, but just when it was ramping up, the 80s sequels, just bumping out all these sequels.
They were all in the same year.
So when they said Halloween 3... that obviously people were expecting Michael Myers and they didn't get it. And I think a lot of them went to see the movie blindly, never watching the trailer. This was pre-internet, so it wasn't always in their fucking face. Like, if you didn't catch a trailer on TV, you didn't know it was coming.
See, that's what happened to me, because it was, again, I think it was my venture company rented the movie. And I had never seen a Halloween movie in my life, and we were going into this thing, oh, this is Michael Myers. And never saw Michael Myers once in the entire movie. And I'm like, what the hell is this thing?
The tagline for Halloween was "The Night He Came Home." The tagline for 3 was "The Night No One Came Home." So they kept with that theme that they had with
Halloween.
Had to
be in one night, right?
You know, and so everybody's like, okay, more Michael Myers, and they didn't get it.
Hey, there ain't no Michael Myers in this fucking film. What the fuck?
First thing, it was never supposed to be a sequel after Part 1. And...
But that was the studio basically saying, hey...
Yeah, we made money, and so you got this ambiguous ending for Part 1, so let's just keep going.
Yeah
but they made Part 2. But then originally what they wanted to do was they wanted to make this a yearly serial horror film about something scary happening at Halloween. So it was just kind of the title, and then that would have been it. It would have been something different. Like Andrew was saying before, there was absolutely no... There was no warming up to it. It was just the trailer came out, everybody thought it was Halloween, Mike Myers would come back and kill everybody... And it has something to do with fucking masks. And everybody's like, what the fuck is this? And I think that, because it happened like that, there was no build up to it, it made no money, then shit canned that idea.
Well, not only the fact that you went from having a silent, menacing, indestructible killer to an old Irish guy and robots.
And druids and all that. Yeah.
And like fucking Stonehenge.
Halloween 3, Season of the Witch, The Night No One Comes Home.
And it killed the series for, I think, Part 4 came out in 88, right?
Yes.
So it killed the series for 5 years.
Yes.
Which, you know...
Which seemed a long fucking time when you're a kid.
For sure.
Waiting for more.
But also, given how cheap these movies are to make, it's kind of a surprise that it took that long to make another one. Like, these movies don't cost a lot to make.
No.
And why did it take 5 years? Because the stigma of what Part 3 was.
But, I mean, Part 3 had a lot of involvement. It wasn't like somebody else took over. It's like a whole new studio and all brand new faces took over to make this film, because it had music by John Carpenter. It had great music by John Carpenter. Yep. He was involved. Erwin Yablans was in there. Mm-hmm. Mustafa Akkad was in there. The fucking thing was directed by Tommy Lee Wallace.
Yep.
Tommy Lee Wallace has been a collaborator with John Carpenter since fucking God knows how long. And you have Tom Atkins...
Captain Mustache!
He made appearances in John Carpenter films. A couple years earlier, he was in Escape from New York. Again, like, looking at the credits, you watch the credits, any veteran horror fan can look at the credits of this film and recognize that the people involved in 1 and 2 are heavily involved in this film as well.
All of us.
The film opens up with some guy running away from something. He's being attacked by these suits, right? We don't know what the hell's going on.
Men in Black.
Yep. And makes his way to a gas station and gets brought to a hospital. At this point, we don't know what the hell's going on. All we know is that this guy's in danger.
100 milligrams Thorazine. IV.
You know, and then bring in Tom Atkins, Captain Mustache.
Yay.
Dr. Mustache.
Dr. Yeah.
Mustache.
Give him correct credit. Hey, he didn't spend 7 years at Mustache Medical School to be called Mr. Mustache.
The one thing that kind of ties this film into the last film, which was Halloween 2, was all the skulking around in an empty hospital.
Yes.
That's the one thing that Halloween 2 has, is like almost nobody in this fucking hospital, right?
Yeah.
And sure enough, in Halloween 3, there's this shape skulking around. You only see the legs. You don't get to see exactly who it is. Very much like they covered Michael Myers walking around the hospital.
Right.
So in that way, they kind of fit them together, like this is where we're coming from kind of deal. I don't know if that was by design, but it's worth mentioning. I like when he goes to kill the father in the hospital, and it looks like he's going for a punch,
and then he gives him
the claw.
He gives him the Three Stooges.
Eye trauma, Paul.
I looked away.
Get your phone out of your hands.
Not just
eye trauma.
Not just eye, but he twists, so he breaks.
Yeah,
you
can hear his face.
Oh. He pulls the fuck. What do you call this right here?
The septum, or
bridge of your nose.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
He clamps down behind him. Pulls it up.
Pulls it. Yeah. It's...
And you hear it, just like the sound design for that was good.
Kind of like a wishbone.
And then
you
see him wiping the blood off on the curtain.
And when he brings his hand away, you can see that the guy's face, like his nose is protruding out. The damage is done.
That's the thing, it's like he immediately goes out, gets into a car, and sets himself on fire. The glove cleaning seemed unusually superfluous for a robot.
So then he doesn't track the blood, I guess, through the hospital.
But at the time, we don't know he's a robot.
Yeah.
This is a concern for the, you know.
Like you said, doesn't make sense because eventually they investigate and they figure out it's not a human in there.
Right.
But so what's the point of the blood?
They were programmed to emulate human behavior, though.
So going into a car and emulating yourself is human behavior?
No, but wiping your
hands.
Well,
if you're a Tibetan monk.
Yeah, I was going to say, back in Vietnam.
Yeah, I guess.
Some crazy man killed himself in the parking lot right after. Drugs, probably.
Is that it? My father's dead because of some crazy...
The whole thing is under investigation.
I'll bet.
I like how Chalice gets involved in this. Like, okay, he's caring for this patient. Guy walks in, kills his patient, goes out, immolates himself out in the parking lot. If that's not the beginning to a fucking strange day, I don't know what it is.
That doesn't make any sense. I've seen lots of people on drugs. The man was in complete control. He looked like a businessman.
He had to be one strong businessman, I can tell you that. You don't just pull someone's skull apart without a little lower arm strength. Know what I mean?
Daughter of the deceased comes by. She's looking for answers, and he's trying to play it smooth. And then he's like, you know what? You want to know what happened? I'll fucking tell you what happened.
I saw something that night. I don't know. Your father came into the hospital and I thought he was crazy, out of his mind. He's hanging onto a Halloween mask. He wouldn't let it go. And what he said was, they're going to kill us all. And in a little while, he was dead. And I don't know what the hell is going on.
Yeah, he gets dragged into the movie, I think, rather effectively. Because there's enough of a mystery there that I'd be curious.
Yeah.
Not only that, but his detached home life kind of forces him to do anything else but deal with his friggin' wife.
2 more days to Halloween, Halloween, Halloween. 2 more days to Halloween, Silver Shamrock.
I saw Cochran, his car anyway.
And your old man stayed here on the 20th.
I was right. We'll go directly to the factory.
Hold on, slow down. It's getting late. I could use a drink. Let's take our time.
It's okay with you?
Criticisms here. My only criticism with this film is from the, I like how it begins. It kind of sucks you in, like, what the fuck's going on with the assassination and the guy immolating himself? I'm hooked. It's a good hook.
Yeah.
But that from there to when the fit hits the Shan at the Silver Shamrock, I understand that they're trying to foster drama and intrigue. What's up with these Silver Shamrock people? But it goes on too long. It's like, I can understand why somebody after about 45 minutes would go boop and change the channel. Yeah. I really would.
Yeah, this probably would have played better as a single episode of, like, Tales from the Dark Side or something.
Friday the 13th
series. Friday the 13th series.
Yeah.
Yeah, if it had done as a... Because this probably could have been condensed down to a 30-minute episode, really.
Well, I mean, there were... Like I said, that shot of at the motel. Like, honestly, how long was that shot? Probably a minute?
It's not without its faults.
Yeah.
You picking up an order?
Yeah. Oh, I figured. There's no other reason to be in this godforsaken place. Now, I hate to say anything, but... The merchandise is slipping. I mean, my four-year-old was throwing the thing against the wall. Granted, the trademark shouldn't just come right off.
Your master plan is basically dependent upon children taking care of their possessions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen a child?
High failure rate for this.
But isn't the first thing you do when you buy something is
I rip the tag off of it.
So these Silver Shamrock masks have a trademark tag on the outside of them, and Marge Gutman's has just fallen off. Later she notices there's a little circuit board embedded in there, so she takes a hairpin and starts fucking with it. Bad judgment.
What's that?
Who cares?
The misfire. Helen was next to me. She wouldn't watch it. She wouldn't watch Gutman.
What, just now? Or?
Yeah. See, I looked over and she's like, no, I don't want to watch this. When the misfire hits Gutman in the face and her fucking lips are all peeled back.
I'll tell you the first time.
The issue is because I've got an issue with
bugs,
teeth trauma.
Oh, you do?
And spiders. The first bug that came out was a fucking spider. So I was like, I can't, it's a double whammy
was
for me.
Was it a spider? It was a cricket. It looked like a cricket.
Yeah, the first one was a spider.
Oh, look out, kitty. Yeah, we're spilled enough stuff today.
Roll it.
Get your
first one was a spider.
What's that, nude? You want me to replay the scene that freaks you out? Not a problem. How about 7 or 8 times?
Hold on. Hold on. Hey, nude, come watch it one more time. What is that?
I say it's a spider. I think she's right.
Is it a spider?
Oh man, look at her reaction, the whole
dude, wait, one more time. Come watch this again.
We're gonna go. Yeah.
Come on, just
right.
Dude, come here.
No.
Look at the teeth.
I saw
look at the teeth all fucked up.
I saw it.
What's
I
coming out of her face?
More gum trauma than
enough.
Oh, what is it?
I swear, it's a really long spider.
Is it a spider though? Is that
I think it's a spider. I think she's right.
I see six.
I think we need to blow it up and
paste it all around the house.
We are going to put this to the
side. Hold on. Posed back legs.
One more time, Helen.
No, Andrew.
Come on, watch it again.
Even after all that torture, she was wrong. It was not a spider coming out of Marge's face. It was a Jerusalem cricket.
So this, it was a good-looking beam, though. It looked
Those were some lovely beams.
They were fantastic.
Look at our circular, glowing star Stonehenge beam. We brought it all the way from Ireland. You won't believe how we got it here.
The makeup effects on that death are amazing. The way that she's still alive and twitching, and you can see like all this shit inside
even
of her moving.
The force of the beam pushed the flesh back.
Yeah,
like that was neat.
I honestly, I'm not expecting to be craving a fruit roll-up right now.
Mr. Cochran, good to see you, sir.
Ah, good evening, Mr. Rafferty. It's all over, my friends. Just a small accident. The lady's going to get the very best possible treatment. I promise you that.
It's Dan O'Herlihy.
Fuck you. I was just about to say, it's fucking Dan O'Herlihy.
It's the CEO of OCP.
From RoboCop.
Where are they taking her?
They're taking her to the factory. We've the most marvelous facility there for emergency treatment. What happened?
Misfire.
How many horror films do we know that actually have androids, like clockwork people? Think about that for a second. Unless you're going into science fiction, it very rarely crosses over.
Loyal and obedient, unlike most human beings.
What's up?
I just saw a couple of men who looked strangely familiar. And there's another one. They look an awful lot like the man who killed your father.
Oh, my God!
What?
That's Papa's car.
Wait, Ellie, don't.
So we know that something's going on with these masks. We know the Silver Shamrock is up to no good. We just don't know exactly to what extent.
All right. You pack. I'll call the police. This place has to fall under somebody's jurisdiction.
Let's go soon, okay?
All right.
Stacy Nelskin, take her or leave her. I don't think it was a very good performance, but again, I don't think she was written very well. I think she did okay for what was on paper for her. Dan O'Hurley
he makes the movie. He was awesome. He knocks
it out of the park.
Oh yeah, he makes the movie for me. The strength of the movie for me comes from the fact that it has a lot of its roots in traditional Halloween, right? Like, how many movies actually go back to Halloween's origins? We don't really get that. We get a lot of modern Halloween, a lot of mythos, but to tie it all the way back to Ireland and to bring an actual druid into the mix to try and bring Halloween back to where it was thousands of years ago.
An interesting premise. Yeah.
It is, by the way, the single oldest thing that we celebrate to the day. There is nothing else. There are no holidays, no pastimes, no traditions as the human race that we celebrate that's older than Halloween.
Ah, Mr. Chalice.
Where is Ellie?
Mrs. Smith. Ah, sure, I believe she's resting just now. Didn't take you long to get here, Mr. Chalice. Dr. Chalice, I should say. It'll be morning soon. Halloween morning. Be a very busy day for me. Being a medical man, you should find it quite interesting.
Now, as good as he is, what's always bothered me is he goes the James Bond villain route. I'm going to explain everything to you and bring you down to my inner sanctum, and then I'm just going to leave you, and then
you know what?
Chaos ensues.
In a way, it makes sense, because he's been anticipating this day for so long that he can't help but share. He's like,
no,
you can't believe what I'm
sense.
Up to.
If he's been waiting for as long as he's been waiting, he's going to make sure that absolutely everything goes perfect. Nothing's going to stand in his way. He's just going to shoot the guy.
Ryan Stewart. You know what? And I got to say, I think it's within his character for him to spill the beans. Because we've been told time and again that this is a guy who invented practical jokes. He loves a good joke. And what's the point of all of this preamble and all of this preparation if there's nowhere there next to him to get the punchline? There's no audience. There's just his androids surrounding
him. Yeah.
Right? He needs somebody there to appreciate what he's done, I think. And I think that was a rare opportunity for him.
An ancient sacrificial circle. Stonehenge. We had a time getting it here. You wouldn't believe how we did it.
We took Tommy off Valerie, tied it to the back of him, dangled a stick with a bottle of whiskey in front of him, and he got it here in like 2 days.
It has a power in it. A force. Even a particle. Devastating.
We're dealing with a human being that just somehow has figured out how to use a piece of Stonehenge as a diabolical weapon.
Right, he's weaponized this magical thing. Right?
Ancient technology.
Look, Doctor, you asked about the girl.
Where is she?
Right in there. Your friend, Miss Gutman.
You killed her.
No, Miss Gutman was the victim of a misfire. The others... What you really need to see is a demonstration, and there's one coming right up.
It's time. It's time.
That whole music that you hear throughout the entire film, like by the end of the film, you are sick to fucking death of listening to that jingle.
What are you talking about? Waiting for the dance remix.
You're like, you want the dubstep remix? So by the time they get to this test room A demonstration and they play it, the whole thing, and the music just keeps getting faster
louder and faster. Yeah.
I think this whole thing is a big joke. I mean, look at this.
The wife is laughing about it. This thing's a whole fucking joke.
Yeah,
and he's like, on the outside laughing with her, like, ha ha ha, wait.
She's laughing at the plastic fruit.
Yep,
it's a clashing element because you've got true horror and suspense and terror with her laughter, and your brain is trying to process it because there's elements of here that don't mix, and it throws you off.
When it starts happening, the mask, you can see it's changing.
It's like it's melting and reshaping itself.
There's something going on in there. You don't know what it is, but it's all wet and glistening and coming apart.
I think the mask is slightly over big for a purpose, because when he puts his hands on it, you can see it kind of fold in to give the effect that his head is collapsing in, like it's being devoured or it's getting smaller.
You know what bothers me is that that child doesn't make one noise throughout the entirety of that scene. Like,
because it's pretty sudden. Like, you see, there's like a noise, like a reaction. His hands go on it, and boom, he's down.
I don't know. There's a few moments where he's kind of just going like this, and then he falls. There's a good 10 seconds before he falls. He doesn't make a noise.
It robs him of the power of speech, so he can't cry out for help.
And also, like, the mask is deteriorated just enough that you can see the hair and the eye underneath, and you can see the mouth where the snakes and shit are coming from. You just get enough to figure out what's going on, but it's obscured just enough so that it's not overly graphic, right?
Sometimes not seeing everything works better. You know, sometimes subtlety wins.
Another thing I like is after all the snakes and shit are coming out of this fucking child's head, his arm's still moving. Like there's still some sort of life left to this kid as this is happening to him. I'm like, fucking just die, kid. Just fucking die. And then, not just child endangerment, but the child becomes the threat. Child becomes the threat because there's poisonous shit coming out of them that are hunting people down in the room.
Yeah.
Like, holy fuck. That is horror. Like, 110%. That is so nightmarish what's happened. What is supposed to happen in everyone's fucking living room at 9 o'clock that evening is the stuff of fucking nightmares. I thought they executed that perfectly.
They're basically turning children into biological weapons.
And Brian Stewart always gives points to child endangerment. Brian Stewart, weigh in here.
Well, the reason I like it is because in horror films where certain people are off limits, and you could tell the way it's scripted, the way it's worked out, that certain people will never actually be targets. You're like, well, if some people aren't really in danger, then they're pulling punches. You get that idea that the violence is somehow curtailed, right? I don't want that. I want all bets are off. That's what I want.
Enjoy the horror fun, Doctor. And don't forget to watch the big giveaway afterwards.
Here was an old school Irishman who's kind of pissed off that Halloween on the other side of the planet has become this little playful night for children to get free candies. Like, no. Let me tell you something about this festival. It ain't all fucking candy and pumpkins.
Mr. Kupfer was right, you know. I do love a good joke, and this is the best ever. A joke on the children.
It was the original Druid New Year. That's what it was. It was the end of the Druid calendar, and the start of the next year was Halloween. The end, out with the old, in with the new. It's when the living and the dead coexisted for one night.
You don't really know much about Halloween. You thought no further than the strange custom of having your children wear masks and go out begging for candy.
Oh, you caught me monologuing, you sly dog.
Halloween. The festival of Samhain. The last great one took place 3,000 years ago when the hills ran red with the blood of animals and children. The world's going to change tonight, Doctor. I'm glad you'll be able to watch it.
You know what? And it's probably the scene for me that has the most tension is when he's trying to sneak back into the factory and he stops to make the phone call and he calls home. And he's very quietly trying to tell, with all the intent, he knows what's going to happen. He's got a half hour before his own kids are dead. And he's trying to whisper so they don't hear him. And he's like, you have to get rid of the mask. And she's just not listening. She's got her kids at home. It's a typical day for her. She has no idea what the severity of the problem is. She's pissed.
Shut up. Linda, shut up. Listen. I have to get rid of the mask. The silver shamrock. At Santa Mira, when they killed Buddy Kupfer, his whole family, they killed him.
And you can just feel the irritation in that call where he's trying to convince her without raising his voice, get rid of the man. Oh, you're just jealous. You're just such a son of a bitch. Click.
No, I'm not drunk. Listen, you have to get rid of the mask. Just...
The tension he must be thinking, oh my God, my fucking kids.
If only I had been a better father.
But for me, it was a tense scene because he's trying not to get caught, you know, and they're all walking around. They're not too far off, and he's trying not to make a sound. And then just when you think he might try and call back, they're onto him, so he's got to move because they're sweeping through the area. Like, for me, that was probably the most tense part of the movie for me.
Can that be the scene where he's throwing all the chips over the walkway there, and they start all the druids start zapping out? That was cool. I didn't like his, at the end of that, Dan O'Hurley's little golf clap. It drives me crazy in movies anyway, when the slow one person claps and everybody else stands up. Yeah, that kind of stuff.
They didn't overdo it. It was just three claps.
Yeah, still.
I agree. Like, his demise was on the cheap. I didn't like his demise.
It was
demise.
Very, very cheap.
Because we see that a particle of this thing being activated by this song and dance on the screen causes just horrible fucking effects. So here you have the entire stone slab that's in the presence of this, and it's just a laser beam that turns him into a snow cone, and he just disappears.
It was cheap.
Yeah, it's like, very, I want something horrible to fucking happen to this guy.
And he deserves something horrible to happen to him.
Yes!
And it seems like he, like, out of all the shit that's happened, he gets off the easiest.
You know what should have happened to him? If they would have... Remember the guy in John Carpenter's Prince of Darkness?
I was going to say. Yes. The guy in the alley who turns into the bugs.
Right.
Yes. That's what I thought was going
to
happen.
If that would have happened to him, I would have bought it and I would have said, yes. That, and it, that quick, like really quick, because obviously it would have been like full force.
It's a transportation, or teleport, like transformation where he just drops to the ground and bugs just scatter.
Yeah.
That would have been neat. I agree.
They got off on the cheap on that device. Yeah. They turned him into a fucking snow cone.
And then he just disappears.
Gotta do something. Call somebody, huh? Hello, you all right?
The only thing I can say is that she was programmed to attack him if they got off the premises.
It's the perfect joke.
Yeah. if they somehow got off the premises, that's
which also implies that the real her was back in the factory that was then in flames.
Oh, I'm sorry. The factory burning down, that was the worst process shot.
Oh, yeah.
That was so bad.
I did like her attack on him in the car.
Yes.
Her attack on him in the car. It might have went on a little bit too long.
I was going to say it went one step Monty Python. Like, it's just a flesh wound. You know. She's lost one arm. She's
lost her head.
Lost her head.
Then she got the biggest kick out of was the second attack of the phantom arm.
That was a fucking T-800. This thing really wanted him dead.
Like, that's the kind of shit, like the hand attack thing. That's the kind of shit I expected to see in Army of Darkness.
It was very cartoonish.
Yeah, I did like when he took the crowbar to take her head off. That actually looked better than I thought it was going to.
Oh, when he gave her the hit, and the head went flying.
The head went flying, and the body didn't drop instantly, which was kind of cool. Like, it dropped as it should have. It was really kind of neat.
It's very Ash from Alien.
Yeah.
Do you also notice that the more tense and, like, the heavier shit gets in this movie, the more glistening Tom Atkins gets? Yeah. Like, by the end, he's practically a disco ball in panic.
Yeah. Okay, Patrick Ewing.
Sweatier and sweatier.
Patrick Ewing, fourth quarter.
Yeah, plus he wasn't changing his clothes for 2 days.
He must have been right by the end of the movie.
If it goes out, it means the death of millions of people, everyone watching. Don't you understand that? Well, say it's a bomb, then. Say whatever you want. Say whatever you like. Just get it off the air. Please, you just...
Would you call this an apocalyptic film?
Only
if they didn't turn off the last channel.
Exactly. Only
it's
if
a potentially apocalyptic
movie. Only if they don't turn off the last commercial, and it ends right to the point where you don't know. So yes?
And
question mark?
That I think that's the best way that they could have ended this film is not explaining whether or not he got to it in time.
Right.
He knows the first two channels, but it was like 2, 4, and 7, right? When we were growing up, we had 2, 4, and 7. Those were the major networks.
Yeah.
So 2 and 4 turned it off, but 7 was still playing.
And there's the reason this movie cannot be made today.
That's right.
Because there's more than 3 channels.
That's right.
Stop it, please. For God's sake, please stop it. There's no more time. You've got to... Please, stop it. Stop it now. Turn it off. Turn it off. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it.
Newt, what do want you to score this film immediately.
I liked it. I mean, it was very entertaining, and just for the entertainment value, I'll give it a 5.
A 5?
Yeah.
Oh, new.
Is that a passing grade?
I've seen enough. Let's get out of here.
Nick, score it.
Honestly, this kind of sits under the same category as movies like, you know, like Kung Pao or Dude, Where's My Car? You know, this is a good, bad movie for me. I've never had any illusion that this was a cinematic gem, but it's enjoyable as fuck. There's, you know, no matter which way you look at it, you know, it's an enjoyable flick. You know, the Carpenter score sells it. If they gave it, like, stupid canned, you know, orchestral crap, it wouldn't have had anywhere near its charm.
Agreed.
So, yeah, this is, for me, it's a 7.5.
7.5 from Nick.
8 more days to Halloween.
Ryan, Stewart?
I'm shocked, because for once, I'm going half a point lower than Nick.
He was going to give it a 7. I was going to give it a 7 originally, but at the end, I was waxing nostalgic. I gave it an extra half.
I take points off for pacing, because it's obviously there's a lot of padding.
Padded as fuck.
I will say this, the pauses and the pacing problems, there is stuff worth getting through those moments to get to. And so I think if you were to do like a clip show just taking the best scenes of this, it's worth a 7.
You happen to know anything about this Cochrane?
Score it, Nefarious Paul B.
I was originally going to go 7.
And then we set our numbers and you're like, fuck those guys.
Yeah, well, 7 and 7.5 are still fucking pricks. So I'm going to go 6.5. Parts of it are very good, other parts of it do not hold up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's like Nick keeps saying, it's a Channel 20, Channel 50, cheap 80s movie.
It's a good bad movie.
It's a good bad movie.
Maybe they're not going to have Halloween next year.
I will give it a 7.5. I think that is a fair score for the film. I like Tom Atkins. I like Dan O'Herlihy. I love the fucking premise. It's apocalyptic. I loved the demonstration. The fact that this is what's supposed to happen in everybody's living room on Halloween evening was a fucking selling point for me. I love that. That was true horror. For those of you I've read saying that it was just mediocrity, I can understand why you would say that. It's definitely got its slow, it's a, like Nick said, it's a slow burn. But once you get to the climax and you figure out exactly what's going on, and the ending I fucking love. Did he get to it? We don't know. 35 years later, we're still asking that question. Do you think he got to it? I love endings that allow you to keep having this discussion over and over and over, because there's no real answer.
And happy Halloween.
At any point, are we going to discuss the remake? Or the new Halloween 3 that's coming out?
Oh, yes. Let's get into it. Well, John Carpenter's like, oh, it's going to be great, and the writers got it and all that, but he's going to be a producer, and like I said, I don't trust producers. Any producer that says, yeah, go see this movie that I'm throwing money into to make money off of, I don't trust him at all. Here's what we know so far. John Carpenter says he likes the script. He thinks they got it right. Jamie Lee Curtis has agreed to come back for it. And John Carpenter has agreed to do the music. If he does the music and he gives us the same flair as the original two films, because that's some of his best music is the Halloween films, then I'm in. I will take the fucking plunge. I'm in. I look forward to it. Absolutely.
Just reading this here on February 9th, 2017, Carpenter announced that the new Halloween film would be released on October 19th, 2018, and was going to be written by David Gordon Green and Dan McBride and directed by David Gordon Green. It will be a direct sequel to 1981's Halloween 2. In September, Jamie Lee Curtis announced that she would reprise her role as Laurie Strode, and the film will be distributed by Universal Pictures, their first involvement in the franchise since distributing 1982's Halloween 3 Season of the Witch.
My only problem with this project is that they've already made a sequel to Halloween 2. It's called Halloween H-fucking-2-0.
Mm-hmm.
They did the 20 years later with Laurie Strode thing.
It had like an 80-minute runtime, too. It was ridiculous.
It's retcon. Because she dies in the follow-up issue, or whatever the follow-up one was.
Yeah, Resurrection.
Resurrection. She dies in that.
What's the matter? Don't you have any Halloween spirit?
No.
Folks,
folks, that's the end of our Halloween special featuring Halloween 3, Season of the Witch, directed by Tommy Lee Wallace, starring Tom Atkins, Dan O'Herlihy, and Stacey Nelkin. Look for Dick Warlock in the film. He plays one of the androids, coughing up yellow gore several times. It's disgusting. We love Dick Warlock here. He's got a great porn name. Plus, he was an incredible stuntman who also played Michael Myers in Part 2. We hope you liked our revisit of Halloween 3. Some of us liked the film more than others. I think we were fair with our assessment of it. It's a classic now, in any case. Definitely worth a watch. We hope you check it out this season if you've never seen it. As of right now, we're not certain which Part 3 will be coming at you at the end of November. But keep your peepers peeped at our page for clues during the month. While you're there, give us a like, leave us a comment. We'd love to hear from our listeners. For the world-famous Brian Stewart, the nefarious Paul B., the cult sensation Nick McPherson, and my wife, the lovely nude, this is Cash Wampum wishing you a happy and safe Halloween and reminding you that there's a horror movie out there that's just going to scare the hell out of you. And we're going to help you find it right here at Horror 101, educating your fears.
How can they have a Halloween 3 with no Michael Myers? I want my money back.
Well, you know what they say. Caveat emptor.
Caveat emptor, fuck you.